Father, we thank you for insight. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, Father, that you've given Daniel the accuracy, Father, of prophecy and the layout of prophecy, Father, to show to the world that you are all-powerful, that you're sovereign, and Father God, that you want to prepare the hearts and the minds and the focus of your people. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that this morning you will reveal to us the things that is important to you. And Father, that you will speak to us out of Daniel chapter 7, Father, so that we can really get some insight on even the times that we are living in now. Thank you that we can ask for your presence to be with us now, and that you will give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So let's quickly get to the first part, Frida, maybe of just a little bit of background on the chapter before we get into the prophecies or the dreams, the visions that Daniel saw. It says dreams and visions, so I think he slept and he was awake on his bed when he got these visions. Just help us to get into the chapter.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I'm just so excited about this this part of Daniel now. It's the first part was more history, and now we're really getting into the prophetic part of Daniel. And it was just... that Daniel could see how things was coming into fruition slowly, but above all, that what he wrote down, he himself couldn't quite understand, because it was not really, it didn't happen yet. He knew it was going to happen in future, but he didn't have the knowledge of what was going to really happen. And in more towards the end of Daniel, we see that he says it will be sealed until the end times, when it will be revealed. And to me, it was just, I always thought it was going to be a big event when it's going to be revealed, but no, it's revealed as it happens. Mm-hmm. And so we just see in this God's faithfulness, what he says he will do. If you look at the prophecies about Jesus from the very beginning of the Bible, and you see that Jesus fulfilled every little one of them. I heard somebody once say that Jesus was fulfilled more than 42 of the prophecies that were said about him. And you know, that was, and this is the same year with Daniel. The things that Daniel saw, or that the kings saw, is all revealed to us now, because it's coming into fruition. So, yes, and then the next thing is, it just makes us so aware of God's supreme reign. When God says something, he does it. He is, and he's faithful. What he says will happen. And he's faithful in every detail of it. So, yes, and this Daniel 7 is now actually going back in years, so it's about 14 years prior to the feast of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel saw this. So it was also always, it was revealed to him even before Nebuchadnezzar came on the throne. So now he's looking back at this, and he's looking at writing this down. He saw the stormy sea. He saw the four beasts. He saw the judgment seat of the Ancient of Days, and he saw the triumphant coming of Jesus, the Son of Man. And to me, it was so amazing that you could compare the dream of the king, of King Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel's dream, and we could see it happening, coming into fulfillment. I just put it there on the script. It says that the golden head was the same thing that was the winged lion in Daniel's dream, and eventually it was the reign of Babylon. And then the silver chest and arms was the same as the lopsided bear, which was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the bronze belly and the thighs were the four-headed leopard of Daniel, and it was the Greece Empire with Alexander the Great. And then the legs of iron and the feet of clay was the terrible beast in Daniel's dream, and it was the Roman Empire. We will later on get to the feet and the toes in at the end of the
the chapter. So let's quickly read it, and then we can delve into it. I think it's precious to get the context first. Let's go to verse 1. In first year of Belshazzar, so we're back at Belshazzar, the king that we, it was written on the wall, you guys will remember. He had a short reign. He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. When God brought judgment over him, he was overtaken by Cyrus. As he was feasting with his friends, you still remember him. Okay, so Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head. So he was not ruled. So we're moving a little bit back into Belshazzar's rule. Daniel saw a dream and visions of a head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then I looked, its wings were plucked off and was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second one like a bear, and it was raised up one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth and devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them lost my place. Let me just get back to it. Stamp on the beast before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Verse 9 says, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days, his God, took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out of before him. So it's a judgment of Jesus, eh? 1,000 came out from him. 1,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and book were opened. I looked at then, because of the sound of great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion were taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Okay. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, came to the Ancient of Days, was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and kingdom. All peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting kingdom which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So let's get to the interpretation of it. I think it's evident. So Frida, you quickly mentioned there the different yeah, beasts coincide with the vision that we saw in chapter 2 of of the body, the golden head of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, the silver chest and arms of the Medo-Persians, the bronze belly and thighs of the Greeks, and then the legs and iron and feet of clay is the terrible beast of Rome. So let's delve into it. I think the best way to start off is just to maybe this morning talk about the four beasts, maybe the first one being the Babylonian Empire. Eh?
So you want me two. You want me to do the interpretation part?
Yeah. So let's go to the Babylonian Empire. The lion's wings were plucked. And we know that this is Nebuchadnezzar's pride that was plucked, hey?
Yeah. So it was, I just want us to look at it, that the four beasts were the four kings, but we need to see where they came from. They came from the turmoil and the terrible, the anger and the turmoil of the people. It was the ocean was a symbol of this terrible world with all its terrible things that happened, and its greed and its power hunger. That's what the sea was interpreting about. And then also they wanted to, every one of them wanted to be a ruler. So it was always this striving to get control of the world. And in the Babylonian Empire, we see that the lion's wings that was plucked. And that was to me so amazing, all the little detail. Yeah, that Nebuchadnezzar's wings were plucked. And that was when he was becoming so vain. And God just took away his pride, plucked it away. Mm. And he was 7 years living as an animal. But what was so amazing, that God kept his throne for him. In spite of the fact that he was at the mind of an animal, the people still trusted so much in Nebuchadnezzar that they kept his throne for him. So when he came back after he was, he was even greater. After he was humbled, his rule was even greater because of God's intervention. And then also God did it because his heart changed. And that's why the beast was the only beast with the heart of a man. Yeah. So that was the only beast to act, because Nebuchadnezzar was the one who acknowledged God, and he had the mind of a man.
That's also what was said in Jeremiah 4 verse 7, a lion has gone up from his thicket, a destroyer of nations has set out, he has gone out from his place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be ruins without inhabitant. Of Nebuchadnezzar and his rule, eh? So we even see it in Jeremiah. But also the fact that he was the lion with the wings that was prophesied about. I don't know if you want to say anything else about the Babylonian Empire. Anyone else that wants to add? Just want to remind you again that we are looking now in hindsight, but Daniel clearly did not see history, or history was not on his side, so he was prophesying these things into being. Exactly as we know it happened then afterwards, the second one was then the Medo-Persian Empire, the bear that was on one side raised,
and also the ribs in his mouth was was the sign of conquering, of actually taking over. And then also the Medo-Persian was also, there were two kings ruling. It was the Medo one and the Persian one. I couldn't quite understand in the beginning, and then I saw that King Darius, that was the one who put Daniel in the lion's den, he was the Medo side of this empire. Yeah. And they were the weaker side. The stronger side was the Persians under Cyrus.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was why the bear was lopsided, because of the fact that they were two joined armies, actually. And then also the three ribs. Now, the interpreter that I followed said that it could be the Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon that came before the Medo-Persians. Mm-hmm. But it could also be the three that the Medo-Persians overcame, which is, to me, more relevant, is actually that they overcame Babylon, they overcame Lydia, and they overcame Egypt. Yeah. So it could be those three countries, could be the ribs that the bear had in his mouth.
Yeah, I've even heard an interpretation of that it was the three cities of Babylon that was overtaken by the Medo-Persians, the three major cities. So there's different interpretations of that. Yeah. But I think the most important thing is the fact that Cyrus, being the stronger of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Persian, that he was at the time ruling. Yeah. And we know, I just want to refresh your minds again. Cyrus was the one conquering Belshazzar when they diverted those channels from Babylon and then got into the city underneath the wall where the water went through, through the mud, and they then entered the city. I can also just read Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus is the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. And that was the gates underneath the city that was even prophesied that he would open. So that's how the Babylonian rule came to an end. Just want to mention timelines for those who love history. This was about 539 before Christ to 331 before Christ the Medo-Persian Empire happened. This was also the time of Esther. You guys would remember Esther's contribution in this time as well. The time of the Medo-Persian Empire and saving her people. Okay, anyone that wants to add about this Medo-Persian Empire, the bear, the lopsided bear? No one. Okay, so then we get to the third beast. I just want to mention beast meaning nations or rules of the time. So it's not necessarily a real beast, but pictures of nations that was ruling. The third one is the Greek Empire. And this is the four-headed leopard. Yeah, Frida.
Yeah, what's amazing that it says that God, he was given God's control. So God allowed him to that was the leopard now. And then also the leopard was the Greek one, and it was Alexander the Great. And we know that Alexander the Great was vicious, and he conquered quickly. He just went over the world of those days. He went right up to India. He conquered most of the known world of those days. He conquered in a very short time.
Yeah, it was it was only 7 years of conquering. And some said that it was really a supernatural way in which he conquered the world at that time. And him and his armies went all the way to India, to the end of India. They said that he was, for more than 3 years, he was not returning home. He was just in wars the whole time. Fighting one battle after the other, conquering nations. And then he came to the end of India, and his armies actually pleaded to go back home. And on their return, he was at the end dying in Babylon. And yeah, in Babylon, it's interesting. He died on the table of the same place where it was written on the wall. And then when he was dying through epilepsy and drunkenness, his generals came to him and asked him, so who's going to rule the kingdom? And he said, whoever is the strongest will take the kingdom. So he actually set them up for a rivalry. And they then divided the kingdom into four parts, the kingdom as was known at that stage, with the four generals ruling. And that's where we get the four heads of the leopard and the four wings.
But to me, it is amazing that part where it says God gave him control and dominion.
It was supernatural.
God allowed him to. If he wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for God. But then in the end, his vanity got him. Ended his rule. We see that actually the Greek Empire was actually weakened when those four generals divided it up between them.
Yeah.
That's the four heads of the leopard.
And this was about 331 BC to 168 BC. So it was just before Christ, or not just before, but 168 before Christ came to the scene. And we know that Christ was coming in the last one, which is the Roman Empire, the terrible beast with the 10 horns. So the terrible beast.
Just to see that he was actually so strong and cruel and rebellious, taking over the strong iron thing of the Romans as they conquered the world. And then also, it was like the fist of the law. This is the Roman law, and this is how you do it. And if you don't do it, then you get killed. That's it, was final. And the cruelty of them throwing people into that arena and having to fight the lions and bears and whatever, and they were actually celebrating around, sitting in there, feasting around this cruelty. And that was just the cruelty of the Roman Empire. But then can I go on to the little horn?
Yeah, maybe I should just quickly say that it was clear that they were subduing nations by cruelty and fear. But we see it even through Herod, killing all the babies when he saw opposition through Jesus being assigned as king over all kings. That was the name of the game through the Roman Empire. Any opposition will just be crushed. And crucially, cruelly being dealt with. And this, we also believe, I must maybe just mention that the rebirth of the Roman Empire is something that is crucial to the end times. Not maybe the Roman Empire as we knew it then, but Jesus will return again when there's a Roman rule, or the way of which the Romans rule, of oppression and power and cruelty. It was, though, and this we must maybe mention, there was great civilization brought through the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
All over the known world at that stage. Roads, infrastructure. It was like never before in history. The advance of even reaching one another in communication was amazing, which was actually to the blessing, and God used that for the benefit of the kingdom, because I think it's probably the best time, if you look at history until then, to spread the gospel, because there was roads, there was ways, ships, there was ways in which they could actually reach the known world at the time. So God used it to his benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Now you're saying that, it was just amazing to me that if we look at the internet and things that was created by man to actually control the world, God's now using it to spread the gospel. And it's the same, as you said, with the Roman Empire, you know. And then also, if we look at the 10 horns, is also the same as the 10 toes of the feet of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And the 10 horns, it was... to me it was just so amazing that the descendants of the Roman Empire is the Western world of today. So that is, and it's, and they say that it could be the Commonwealth, the 10 ruling nations of the Commonwealth. So that the common market, and then also that there are 10 stronger leaders in this situation. So, yes, it's like the Roman Empire reviving slowly. And then also, then that little horn that came up, it was vicious, it was boastful. And it was, it actually destroyed 3 of the leading nations of the Western world. Well, actually, you know, taking it out of the Commonwealth. I think we get into that part now where the little horn is starting to grow. Because if we see how many we hear all the rumors of people wanting to take control of the world through all kinds of ways, we just see this is starting to happen now. The little horn is starting to rise. And it's going to get rid of some of the leading nations in the aspect of the unity of the 10 toes.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to extend chapter 7 to the little horn and speaking about it still, Fuya, or are we going to...
Yeah, I just want us to look at the shortly at the what was known about in Daniel, and then to next week we could go into the different parts of the Bible speaking about this little horn.
Yeah, I think that'll be actually good, because the little horn is the Antichrist, and there's so many speculations these days about the little horn and how it will rise in the last days. I think actually be a very good topic to discuss in depth. Yeah. I can maybe just also mention that there is lots of views about the 10 nations or the 10 rulers then that is spoken of. Some says that it never until now have 10 nations ruled the world as it would in the last days. Some others says that it was actually the 10 Western or then Roman empires or Roman provinces. It was mentioned even that 3 of those nations didn't want to be ruled over, and they broke away, and so they were subdued, and today you don't know even of their legacy. Because you clearly know about the provinces like Britain and France, the Franks, and even the Germans, Germania. And so you know about their legacy, and they still are on the map, but they say more to the eastern side of the Western world as they know it today. There was three nations that of the Roman Empire that was actually going against Roman occupation and especially against papal rule as well at that time. So there's lots of speculation about the 10 nations that we can't exactly say what that means, but we know that we are now in the current time of the Roman rule, actually, the last part, the 10 toes, and we must ask God for interpretation thereof so that he can show us. I mean, I've heard even theories of that the popes represent the 10 toes. So there's strange views on this.
Yeah.
But all that we do know is that it says that it was among them, because it's important for us to know that the little horn was actually
the Antichrist.
It's the Antichrist, and it's for our times. So we see these pictures in our times so that we can know the times that's coming and the end times on us. So when it says that the little horn was among them, we also know that it will come out of Western Europe, probably, because that is where the 10 nations was situated or is prophesied. So we can't exactly say that. It's also speculation, but I think it might be an accurate assumption to make that it can be out of the Western world as we know it today. Another thing that I can also mention, that it says that another shall rise after them, which is the 10 nations. And so we know that in the times that we are now in, that the little horn has risen or will rise after the 10 nations ruled. It will make alterations in the times and in law, in the calendar and legal system that is of the time as we know it. And that it will speak against the Most High.
Yeah.
We can even take it as far as to you know, the conversation of Revelations 13:5-8, which is also referring to the beast. John very accurately brought it in perspective as well of Daniel's prophecies. It says in verse 5 of chapter 13, "And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, which is also the 3.5 years, the time and times and a half, which is 3.5 years. So those are all things that we are looking for that will happen in the times of the little one, the times of the rule of the final beast, eh?
Yeah.
It also says, sorry.
So I just put some scripture there for next week's discussion. If you can add more to it, it'll be great. But that was just a few scriptures referring to the Antichrist and the little horn. So, So I just put it there for you to start looking at, and maybe you can find more and put in more of that for us.
Yeah. Anyone else that wants to add this morning? It's a lot of information. But I think we're getting to the place where it's very interesting in the times that we are living. Okay, so it's four beasts of the times and history that we've seen until now. And the last one, the cruel and very vicious beast is the one that we will be talking a lot about even in the weeks to come. Anything that you want to add at last, Frieda?
No, it's
what do we learn out of this?
Sorry?
Do we learn anything out of this?
Yes, that God is faithful and he's just. What he says he'll do, he'll do. He's a righteous God. And to me is you can fool around as much as you like, but eventually you've got to kneel down before his throne and you'll have to surrender to his authority, because he is the great I Am. He will sit on the throne and he will judge.
What a beautiful picture, the one of those fire wheels and God's judgment and the way that he will judge the nations.
But what was precious to me is that God, in that last part, it says that the little horn will be destroyed, but the others, the beasts, will be kept for a time later on.
Yes.
Yeah, so God knows what he's doing. He's not, wandering and, trial and error. He knows what he's going to do. He knows how he's going to set things up. And yeah, so it's for sure. But also through this, we also see God's grace. Yeah, that he will take care of those who are on his side. All those people that was with the throne.
Yeah.
Coming before him. His judgment is for sure. But we need to be ready to stand before that judgment seat. And only the blood of the Lamb can help us to escape that terrible fire.
Yes. Yeah, and just in closing, I just want to say that looking at the world where we are at today and talking about judgment and about righteous judgment in the times that we're living, governments can't do that for us. God is the only just judge. The rulers of the time will only, if we look at the prophecy, and if it is a revival of the old Roman empire in its governance model, then we will only see more oppression and more control and more striving and more fighting for power. That will happen in these last days, and we must just be aware of that and realize that that they will not be able to righteously judge even circumstances, because they will only look after their own agenda, and but God has his agenda and he's going to rule and reign after all. That was for me the beautiful thing, that it says that the sons of God will at the end rule, and it will be an eternal rule that will extend far beyond these rulers that will try to be powerful.
Yeah.
So at the end, God wins.
Yeah, sure. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, just for your faithfulness to your people, Father God. It just as you lead and you guide, Father God, and you equip people, Father God, as we see, just as you've given Daniel these visions, Father God, and the interpretation of it, Lord. We just want to come and pray, Father God, just for as we journey through this book, Father, that you will lead us and guide us like you always have, Father God, and equip us, and Father God, give us the interpretation of the times, Father God. Thank you that you've called us to be a prophetic church, Father God, and thank you, Lord, that we can spend this time going through the book of Daniel, Father God, and just seeing how you use Daniel, Father God, and we just want to open ourselves up to that, Father God, and say use us, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom here on earth, Father God. We want to be your vessel. We want to be your prophetic church, Father God. And yeah, Lord, I pray that this will not just be head knowledge, Father God, but I pray that it will translate into heart knowledge, Father, that we would, we would live this out, Father God. So thank you, Lord, that we can just come and commit this into your hands, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Be blessed. Next week, chapter 8. Daniel, the ram and the goat.
Next week, we do the little horn.
Next week will be the little horn then. We're going to first, before we go to chapter 8, yeah, just talk about the little horn, the Antichrist, and how that looks in the Bible. Okay. Thank you, Frida. Great. Blessings, guys.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.